How many faithful people do I have here today? Come on, lift them up, raise them high. Come on, that's everybody in the house. Come on, we're all faithful. Come on. Even if you're not sure about it, just declare it by faith. I'm faithful. Come on, online too, just declare. Raise your hand, say, I am faithful. Say it, I'm faithful. Yeah, so the nature of the faithful, there's three things I want us to kind of spend some time with on this morning. And it's all pulling right here from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Three particular elements. The first one is this, is our motive must be honor. Anytime we're dealing with our Heavenly Father, our motive has to always be honor. I'm going to come back and deal with that. Secondly, our gift must be first and best. Thirdly, our expectation must be high. Come on now. You got to have a high expectation. But let's begin to deal with the first one. Are you ready? Say yes. Our motive must be honor. Now, this word honor is translated from a Hebrew word, a kabod, which literally means to be, you know, heavy and weighty. But the whole implication of it is to ascribe to someone, you know, great value, great worth, great significance. It's what you're doing when you're honoring someone. You're saying, I am ascribing to you great value, great significance. Come on. Other people, I like them, but you get something extra. And see, when it comes to relating to and interacting with our Heavenly Father, everything should start from this place of, yes, love, but also honor. Love is good, don't get me wrong. But your love and my love should include this component called honor, where we look to honor God, where we look to ascribe to Him a sense of significance that's far above anything and everyone else. He is our Lord and our King. Second Chronicles, let's look at that. Second Chronicles chapter 25, verse 2. Talking about a particular king named Amaziah. And it says, Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but watch this, but not wholeheartedly. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that you can do what actually God wants you to do, but not really do it, you know, with a full, you know, heart of commitment towards the one that you're doing it for? Now, I submit unto you, that's a lack of honor. When we just simply do without doing it from a standpoint of, I ascribe unto you the worth and the value that you are due above all others. One translation actually, you know, says the latter part of that verse that he didn't really want to obey him. He did it, but he didn't really want to. Come on, anybody ever been in that place before? Come on, anybody ever say, you know, okay, I'm going to do it, but, you know, it was just like, all right, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. Come on, let's not even look at it in terms of honor in our possessions. Look at it in terms of forgiveness then. Come on, where you know you should forgive. And then you ask somebody and they gave you counsel, you should forgive. And you're just like, well, I shouldn't even talk to you. And then you say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to apologize. I apologize, even though I don't think I'm wrong. Okay, you did it. You did it. But you didn't do it wholeheartedly. Now, that may work a little bit with us people, but God says, I don't accept that. God says, when you do things for me, I'm expecting for it, in order for it to really have significance and move me, it's got to move you. So that means you got to have all of yourself involved in it. And God says, when I see that, that's glorious seed right there. Wholeheartedness is what God is always looking for. Always keep this in mind too, that honor always involves reverence and generosity. Honor always involves reverence and generosity. Remember again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, what we read right at the beginning. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. See, honor is not just simply saying, Lord, I love you. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, all I want is you. But God says, but I don't have all you. That's what you're singing, but that's not what you're doing. Oh, it's got quiet. See, honor It's more than just the words that we say. Praise God for that. Honor always involves this proper attitude of reverence, but it also brings a sense of generosity. That's why Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions or substance. Notice he didn't say honor the Lord with your mouth. Honor the Lord with your good intentions. It says honor the Lord with your possessions, with your substance. Honor always involves reverence and generosity. So where Amaziah is concerned, God was not satisfied with what he was doing because God wanted his heart to be involved in. He wanted the reverence to be there. Okay, yes, he was extending, watch this, the generosity, but the reverence wasn't there. Honor always involves reverence. It always contains generosity. Notice in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says this. The Lord Almighty says to the priests, children honor their parents and servants honor their masters. I am your father, why don't you honor me? Oh my. I am your master, why don't you respect me? You despise me and yet you ask, how have we despised you? This is how, by offering worthless food on my altar. Oh my. Then you ask, how have we failed to respect you? I will tell you, by showing contempt for my altar. When you bring a blind or sick or lame animal to sacrifice to me, do you think there's nothing wrong with that? Try giving an animal like that to the governor. Would he be pleased with you or grant you any favors? God says, he's talking to the children of Israel. He says, look, you all despise me. You all don't honor me. You honor your, you know, children, honor their parents and so forth, and you teach them that. He says, but you're not honoring me, he says. Now again, like I said, this is the community of the faithful that the church say, amen. So we have an appreciation for honor, you know, for God. But sometimes I recognize we just kind of need to do a checkup from the neck up lest we kind of drift into a place that we don't need to be in. And here's a case, God is saying, listen, you know, the children of Israel were bringing their gifts, they're bringing their sacrifices, but God says, what you're bringing to me that's not honorable. He said, you bring in watch this, the animals that don't nobody want. Come on, you bring in the blind and the lame stuff and talking about, Lord, I love you. Now we can look at that in our own, you know, way. Are we bringing unto God our best, or are we just kind of bringing what's left over, what's already tore up, and just like, you know, I ain't really need that anyway? It's the same attitude, same principle. And God is saying to them, and God is saying to us, he says, that's not honoring me. That does not honor me. Not at all. So how we bring our gift to God definitely matters. But also you can see here what we bring to God. It matters as well. Let's go to the second one. Our gift must be first and best. Say it with me, first and best. Absolutely. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, give every firstborn male to me. Every firstborn male among the Israelites belongs to who? Yeah, unto Almighty God. And then I like how he gets real specific. He says, whether that's human or animal, every firstborn, everything that comes out of the womb, whether it's human or animal, he says, it belongs to me. Now watch this. We understand the principle of tithing, you know, 10%. But what this really sheds light on is the whole matter that what 10% God was always expecting, the firstborn. Come on, the firstborn of our family, of our increase, whatever we have. God says, the first and the best. He says, that belongs to me. So really in scripture, you see really kind of four different elements of giving, tithe, offering, alms, but then also first fruits is also, you know, referenced. But first fruits is really, at the end of the day, it's the tithe, you know, with the proper, you know, mindset, attitude, and position that this is what I do. Watch this, first. Come on, somebody say it with me, first. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting here that God was encouraging Israel, you know, in this way. Because that's what you're going to see in a little bit. He gives them an opportunity to kind of redeem the particular items, meaning that they could hold on to it, but in order to hold on to it, you had to still bring something to the table. You had to bring a gift, redeem it, buy it back, and so forth. God's mindset and heart is that I want to see the first and I want to see the best. Matter of fact, here, I'm going to take these three young men right here. One, two, three. Come on up real quick, real quick. And this young lady right here on the end. Yeah. Come right on up. The first and the best. Now, this is how things, you know, work in our lives. Here, stop and turn, smile at everyone. So now here just showed up is FPL. Come on now, if you live in South Florida, you got to pay FPL. And then, of course, you know, everybody, you know, got to want to do something. So, you know, you got, you know, some kind of TV service. So we got Comcast, you know, right here, you know. And then, okay, let's see, we're right here, you know, we got, this is the big fella, so we got the mortgage, you know, payment right there, praise God. There it is. We all have responsibilities, nothing wrong with that. But then we also have the Almighty. El Shaddai here, this belongs to you. The one who supplies all of our needs. Watch this. Every good gift that you receive comes from God. Now, it may come through the company that you work for. It may come through the investments and, you know, that and so forth that you are investing in and so forth. But understand this, it really emanates from God. So now here's a particular case now. You know, God blesses me as always happens. Thank you so much, God. I appreciate that so much. So now I got increase. Now it's whatever the increase. So whether it's off my job, off my investment, whatever the increase, I got my increase. Now what we don't want to make the mistake to do is be like, okay, I got my increase. I was just like, well, let me see here. All right. Here, I got to take care of FPL because, like, you know, I got to keep my lights on. You know, yeah. Oh, yeah. The game coming on later, so I can't miss the game. Got to pay Comcast. Woo, all right. We don't want to be out on the street, so got to make sure, yeah, I got to pay you probably more. Yeah, there we go. And then we pay. And then here's what a lot of people do. Like, oh, yeah, God. Here you go, God. Now, that's dishonorable. Because the one who blessed us is the first one that we're called to respond to. Not the obligations that we signed up for. Yes, we take care of these things. But we take care of it out of this covenant relationship with the one who provides for us. Because the tithe, again, is the first fruits. It winds up being the first and the best. So watch this. Although that's 10%, that was now given, you know, back to God, that's not the tithe. The tithe went to FPL. See, now, God wants the first and the best so he can bless the rest. But if we're going to give the first, you know, to FPL, or we're going to give it to the mortgage, you know, these are the things, watch this, that are most important. I got to make sure I take care of these things. God said, okay, that's fine. That's what you honor. That's what you honor. So now don't have an expectation of me now to bless the rest. See, everybody wants the rest to be blessed. There's nobody on the planet that doesn't want the rest blessed. But God says the way to do that, give me my money back. God says now the way to do that then is when now you receive that increase and you just look up and you're just like, man, I tell you, God is good unto me. And then bang, ooh, look here, here's another example. God is good unto me. And Lord God, I want you to know I honor you. I love you. Dear God, you're so amazing. I just want to continue to give unto you. I know you're the one that's always giving unto me. Thank you for being so wonderful. Thank you for being all so awesome. Oh yeah, you guys. That's the issue. Okay, now you guys, let me take care. Let me take care. Let me take care. God says, I'll make sure that you have enough for the rest when you bring me the first and the best. And then here's the thing I love about God. Give my money back again. That even if you felt like, watch this, that wait a minute, if I do that, I'm not going to have enough. you will never be able to beat God giving. So the moment you give this, and then you kind of give that back, and you feel like, man, now I'm going to be short. You know, God just has these little, you know, sneaky ways of being able to kind of hit you with a little increase without you even looking. Be like, man, wait a minute, I got more in there than I even realized. You know, wait a minute, all right, let's take care of this then. When we honor Him first, that is how we interact with our Heavenly Father. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Come on, please give them a hand. You can keep that money, young man. All right, glory. I'm not sure where you're going to spend it, though. Praise God. All right. So now, Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, 13 says this. It says, you must give him every firstborn male. Now please don't miss this, because this is there's some powerful stuff right in this. It says, you must give him every firstborn male. He's talking to the children of Israel. Also, every firstborn male animal must be given to the Lord. Buy back or redeem every firstborn donkey. Now, that's interesting, because donkeys were really considered to be unclean. They weren't holy animals. But because they were so effective and useful in helping the children of Israel come out of Egypt into their promised land, God now kind of gives them a different distinction. It says, you know what? You can now buy back now your firstborn donkey by offering a lamb. So you can keep that donkey, but you got to bring me a lamb. But if you don't want to buy the donkey, watch this. You want to keep it, then break his neck. You must buy back from the Lord every firstborn of your sons. That's interesting. Every firstborn male had to be redeemed by bringing an offering to the Lord. So now, Your firstborn, you could do like what Hannah did, and she took Samuel and actually took him to the house of God and left him there. And he's raised in the house of God. You could do that. Or God gave the option and said, well, no, you hold on to your son, but in his place, you bring to me your first and your best. That's how you redeem and buy back. Every firstborn donkey, again, could be redeemed by sacrificing a lamb in its place. Now, notice this, though. If the owner refused to do that and wanted to keep the donkey, remember, the instruction is you had to break his neck. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Here's the significance there. He had to break his neck because he was not supposed to make money or benefit from the service off of what was God's property now. In other words, God says, if you're not going to redeem it, you're not going to, watch this, bring an offering, you know, for it. God says, then you break his neck, because what you actually have now is still mine. And I don't expect for you then to go about trying to increase off of what's mine. Now, what you should do is come redeem it. But if you're not going to redeem it, don't you try to go out there and make something off of it. That's dishonorable. Completely dishonorable. Notice the prophetic emphasis of this passage of scripture. Because there's no better way, no easy way to say it. We're the donkey. Come on, in the scenario, we're the donkey. I know we don't like to consider ourselves that, but we're the donkey. We're the donkey. And now God presents, watch this, his son, the holy lamb of God, to be able to buy us back, because he didn't want to break our necks. He didn't want to destroy us. So he says, I'm going to present now, I'm going to buy back what belongs, you know, to me. I'm going to present a lamb so that I can be able to get you back. Oh yeah, praise God. But the whole heart comes out of this mindset of, you know what, we just bring to God our first and our best. So always keep this in mind, that God can never be second place. Now watch this. God will never be second place, whether you make him first place or not. God says, you cannot make me first place, but I'm still not going to be second. Says that's just not how I roll. Now, why is that? One, because God is immutable. He's immutable, meaning he never changes. There's no shifting, you know, with God. You know, immutable, you listen, you know, to the word, you know, in there is the root word, really mutate. We hear a lot about that just with, you know, whole coronavirus and the different, you know, mutations or variants of the virus. That different variations, you know, start to, you know, spring. So just the moment you get prepared for one, here comes another variant, a mutation. God said, I don't do that. See, you can interact with me in a secure place. Once you kind of get, you know, used to who I am, that's just who I am. Yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shifting and turning with me. He says, I am immutable. But then also God says here that I'm omniscient. Meaning that I'm all-knowing. I'm all-knowing on this. And because I'm all-knowing, watch this, I need for you then to bring your knowledge base up to where mine is. In other words, watch this, God doesn't change how he thinks. God doesn't like, you know what, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, maybe I'll do that. You know how it is, you know, we wake up and it's like, yeah, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then later on, you know, we look at the situation and say, no, I changed my mind. I'm going to go to the store, you know, instead. God has this kind of fixation of he thinks a certain way. Now, that doesn't mean his methods may not change, but how he's thinking is always the same because he is omniscient, the all-knowing one. And then he's preeminent. And again, that means he's first place. Come on, somebody say it with me, he's first place. Absolutely, he's always first place, never second place. Even if we don't recognize him as first, he's always first, praise God, always. Notice in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. After some time, Cain brought some of his harvest and gave it as an offering to the Lord. After some time. Now let's understand what that means. In simple terms, when it was convenient for him, he brings some of his harvest and gives it as an offering to the Lord. Always understand this. Honor is never expressed from a place of convenience. You don't show honor to anyone from a convenient, you know, position and condition. As a matter of fact, the whole nature of honor requires us to kind of go beyond ourselves a bit. To say, you know what? Yeah. I appreciate you. Come on, if you got people in your life that you honor, you know, pastor, you know, I honor you. In order to do that, that requires you to kind of take a step up, a step forward in order to honor. It's never a place of convenience. Watch this. You don't just sit down and be like, yeah, I honor you. You ever seen someone try to do that? Come on, ladies. Can I talk to the ladies? All the ladies in the house say hallelujah. Come on now, what do you think about that guy who's sitting down, smacking on, you know, some food, and you come walk by and he's like, hey, you wanna hang out with me? Now, pretty much every lady in the house can be like, Negro, you ain't even have the courtesy to stand up on your feet and approach me? Ladies, am I lying or what? Come on, you want a sense of honor to be there. Because honor doesn't happen from a place of convenience, you know, where we're just kind of just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay. Honor by itself, you know, requires that we come out of convenience, come out of comfort. And here's a case where Cain presents an offering unto God from a place of convenience, when it was just convenient for him. Verse 4 then says, then Abel brought the first lamb. Come on, someone say first. Born to one of his sheep, killed it, and gave the best parts of it as an offering. The Lord was pleased with Abel and his offering, but he rejected Cain and his offering. Cain became furious, and he scowled in anger. And then I love, you know, what God does. He asked him, say, you know, if you'd have done, you know, why are you mad? If you had done what was right, you know, everything be good. So watch this. It tells us that Cain understood better. He understood better, but he chose the convenient way. He chose now not to honor the one that he was making the pretense to honor. Oh yeah, I'm gonna bring some of my harvest. Yeah, here you go. Here you go, God. Love you. And God said, no, I don't accept that. I don't accept that. Abel, I accept that. He brought me the first and brought me the best. He brought me, you know, a reverential heart now. And we see his generosity. He says, but that other stuff, he said, I don't accept that. God always looks for the first and the best, praise God. Last point, going back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Come on, somebody say good wine. Somebody said, man, you must have known what I had for dinner last night, Pastor. You know, oh, no, no. Now, obviously, this is an agricultural society, you know, reference. You know, you probably don't, you know, want any grain or need any grain. I don't know. You may want some wine. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But understand the heart and the mindset here was to have really now you want to have this expectation that's high. You want to have an expectation for increase. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow. Someone say overflow. With wine. Come on. God has always had increasing you on his mind. Always. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God is thinking how to increase you, how to enlarge you, praise God. But God says now one of the keys that you can employ that will help bring it to pass is know how to, one, honor me. Come on, bring the first and the best. But then also have a sense of expectation. Have an expectation. Come on, have an expectation something good is coming your way. Come on, say it with me. Say something good. It's coming my way. Come on, say it with me. We haven't said this in a while. Come on, say this with me. Great things happen to me every day. Absolutely. You ought to have that expectation. You ought to get up in the morning. Father, I love you. Great things happen to me every day. And then watch this. Don't just be selfish with it, though. Then say, you know what, God, now use me to do great things for others today, too. Don't just simply make it about yourself, please. But great things happen to me every day when we know how to interact with Almighty God the way that he's called us to. It's the nature of the faithful, praise God. It's what Almighty God is looking for. So let me just leave you with this part. Don't selfishly expect God to meet your need. Instead, expect him to shower you with enough increase that you are able to help meet someone else's need. Have an expectation for increase so that, watch this, not so that, you know, I can just check off, you know, my dream list, but so that I can help other people's dream come to pass. And see, that winds up becoming the goal, you know, of our giving. It's, yes, it's to honor God, and we're doing it by being able to help and to bless others. You know, I'm grateful for our church and the sense of generosity that we have because we that's part of our culture. So, you know, so we're always constantly, again this year, helping to feed, you know, individuals that are homeless, you know, providing meals for those that are in need. You know, when the condo collapse there in Surfside, you know, gave to kind of help families with that, just in the whole, you know, aftermath of everything, praise God. Storms and hurricanes that happened, you know, we've helped, you know, where hospitals, you know, emergency hospitals being set up on the ground. All those kind of things are what comes out of us presenting our first and our best unto God. But when we do it, though, let's do it with honor. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven with me right there. Hallelujah. Come on, sing this with me. I honor you. I honor you, Holy Spirit. I honor you. I honor. I honor you. Come on now. I honor you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I honor. I honor. Now remember, don't do it from a place of convenience. Come on, raise up on your feet with me. Say, I honor. I honor. Heavenly Father, I honor. Come on, one more time, hands lifted high. I honor you. I honor you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I honor you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We honor and adore you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, our heart's desire is, yes, to love you. But in our love for you, help us to honor you greater, to honor you higher. Yeah, to revere you the way that you deserve to be. Oh, yeah, to be generous towards you the way you're generous towards us. Lord God, we have an expectation for great manifestations because you are just good like that. You always have increasing us on your mind. So we just say we receive it. We don't fight against you. We don't argue. We're not having political debates about it or theological arguments. We receive the increase that you have in store for us. Thank you for enlarging us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for always being faithful to us. Help us to be more faithful to you. It's in the authority of the Lord Jesus that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, please do this with me. If you just bow your heads right there where you are, at home, here, auditorium, just bow your heads just for a few moments. The honor always starts in relationship. It starts from this place of just simply saying, you know what, God, I surrender all to you. Come on, we're not holding on to anything. We're just simply saying, I surrender all to you. Not most, but all to you. So if that's you, you've never done that before, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let me introduce you to our King. And then secondly on today, let me say this. If you're here and maybe you just kind of got off track. Come on, I mean, well, you know your honor just kind of got misplaced. No condemnation to you. You know, whether you're online or present. But I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. This is an opportunity just to rededicate your life. Make a fresh commitment. And saying, yes, Lord, I will honor you in all things. So if either one of those two invitations speaks to your heart. One, you want to surrender all to Almighty God. Or number two, you want to make a fresh commitment. Just rededicating your life. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed in prayer. Let me just look here just very quickly. If either one of those invitations speaks to your heart, wherever you may be, would you just let me know just by lifting up one hand under heaven, right there we are, if you're present, or online. Matter of fact, you're online, just go ahead and, you know, put a hand up in the chat. Say, yeah, that's me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can put your hands down. Come on, I want to pray for everybody. I want to pray for everybody. So I'm just going to ask everyone, just lift up two hands under heaven. Everyone, please say this out loud with me. Father, thank you so much for honoring me, buying me back, choosing not to see me destroyed, but to redeem me unto life. Jesus, today, I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my King, as my everything. I turn my back on sin and I commit to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody just thank God right there. Glory and honor to your wonderful name. Lord God, we commit to honor you all the days of our life. And furthermore, Daddy, just want to pray for those that maybe making a fresh commitment, rededicating their lives today. Thank you, Father, that you're never mad at us. The blood of Jesus covered all of that. Thank you that you're merciful and gracious towards us. So as we make decisions today, Father, to repent, to change our direction and change our thinking so that we can honor you better. Thank you, Father, for meeting every particular person at that place of decision today, helping them to grow stronger in you, to fulfill the purpose that you've called them unto. We declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every attempt of the enemy that would come up against them to try to distract them off track, we call it defeated in Jesus' name. They are blessed coming in, and they are blessed going out. We give you thanks for this now. In the wonderful name of Jesus, if you agree with that, shout glory!
Glory!
Glory to Almighty God. Come on, somebody just rejoice for 10 seconds. Come on, hallelujah! Come on, give it! Come on, give it! Come on, he deserves our best! He deserves it all! We love you, Lord! Hallelujah! Praise God! He is a good, good Father, and we love him. Praise God. Amen. Come on now, remember the power of one. And remember the nature of that all of us have, the nature of the faithful, praise God. Let's make sure we're always honoring God and share with others how to do the same thing so we can all interact with God the way that he deserves. We love you. We bless you. We got some news that'll be coming here, you know, soon for you. So just be ready, and we'll look forward to seeing you on this Sunday. Don't forget First Wednesday. Hug about 3-4 people. If you need to do it from a distance, go ahead and do it from a distance. But just let them know you love them, and we'll see you next Sunday. Have a blessed one.